Mini episode 344 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is Rick Morris. Along with Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, will be breaking down NFL Week 11, as we've been doing all season long for you. A pretty good Week 10 for me. 9-5 on all my picks last week. 2-1 on my big three. 0-1, unfortunately, on my lock, bringing me to 69-73-5 for the season overall. Hard to believe, but I'm doing best on all of the plays, which is really kind of strange. 10-20 on the big three. A mere 3-7 on my lock picks. Kyle last week, 2-2. So right there, treading water at 16-19, within reach. And I understand it's going to be a greater volume of picks, at least this week, Kyle. So a real chance to move towards profitability, my friend.
Well, man, I thought I was 16-18, but you're probably right.
Oh,
I thought I was two games
right.
under. I thought I was two games under, but I could be wrong. Who knows? But regardless.
We'll say 16-18.
Okay. Regardless, I have a couple mea culpas to make this week. One, not just for the season so far, but two, you know, Ricky, towards you, strategy. I've struggled this year. Last year was great. I hit over 60% on the show. Everything just kind of naturally fell into place. I was right. This week, I've struggled. On how many plays to give out. I've kind of given these soft leans, and then I've kind of fallen in the trap of, you like to give the big three with your lock of the week. I've followed, kind of the three for a while. At this point, we're down regardless, no matter what you want to say. I'm just going balls to the wall the rest of the year. If I like it, I'm recommending it. Bottom line.
Awesome. Okay.
So a lot of plays this week. We're going high volume. This week, hey, don't like the card a lot, but, rather than pick and choose, let's go down swinging, baby.
Awesome. That's the way to go, man. That's always the best way to look at it, I think, and it's a very healthy viewpoint. We start with the Thursday game, as always. We rarely, if ever, get this up in enough time for people to really digest it, so we always tell you, for our insights on this, go check and see at the FDH Lounge Twitter, at the FDH Lounge. This week, this is the first time all year. This is not just a recommended play for me, but my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 11. So we're going to go a little bit out of sequence, get this one out of the way early. Indianapolis is laying 3 at Tennessee. It's been pretty much a solid 3 all week long. Love the Colts to go in there. I think it's a get-well game for them. Tennessee is reeling. It's not just their season that's on the brink after losing last week to Jacksonville and losing Jake Locker. It's the future of the franchise, quite frankly. The coaching staff, the general manager, Jake Locker as quarterback may not survive what comes of this. It was a real turning point for the franchise. I think in a negative sake, this is a bad, bad spot for them to be coming in facing a Colts team out for blood. Colts to cover the 3 going away.
Road favorite Ricky right off the rip, scaring me as always, as does this line, by the way. Tennessee, obviously, there's a lot of things in flux, too. You didn't even bring up the ownership situation. Obviously, long time owner Brian passed away. So, you're right. This really is a franchise in flux. But, look, one of my better picks, if not my best pick of the year, I'd recommend it, was last week with St. Louis against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And in a million years, I never could have imagined that thing would have turned the way it did. Indianapolis was played horrible. It was one of those games that kind of early on, you just knew it wasn't going to go their way. They pulled a lot of rabbits out of the proverbial hat the last year and a half with Andrew Luck at quarterback, but they just fell into a deep hole.
By the way, Tavon Austin, the Rams are off this week, so we can't really talk about him. But I know some of your colleagues didn't like the draft pick of Tavon Austin. I didn't like the coaching and the offensive play calling surrounding Tavon Austin. That's probably a different rant for a different day, though. As for this game, I don't like it. You know, both teams are off horrible losses, really. The two worst losses last week were these two. You know, you had Tennessee, as you mentioned, losing outright to Jacksonville, Indy losing outright to St. Louis, as I just detailed. The last 2 weeks, the road team has been presumed to be the better team, and they have lost. I know those are different teams, and this is a different week, but I don't like the move here. I mean, granted, I know that has a lot to do with the quarterback situation. I certainly don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I'm not taking Tennessee, but I'm laying off this game altogether. Might be worth a look on the under, if anything, if you really are jonesing for a Thursday play, but I don't like the Colts as much as most people, so. And I'm not going to bet Fitzpatrick.
Okay. All right. All that makes a certain kind of rough sense here. So it's my lock play, and you are laying off of it. My other two of my big three plays to follow at the end of the show, as per always, moving to the Sunday slate. It is a real matchup of winners here in the NFC South, as it is the 2-7 Falcons at the 1-8 Buccaneers. Past lounge guest Sam Rosen, I feel sorry for him having to watch this mess at Raymond James Stadium, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Fox. It is a line that started as a pick'em, and it has moved to Atlanta minus 1.5 on the road. Road favorite Ricky strikes again, albeit not with one of my big three picks, of course. But I am on the Falcons in this one, laying the 1.5. I think, again, this is a team that has just about hit rock bottom, is due for a good performance. Who better against Tampa Bay on a short week? A team that is still a mess, notwithstanding what happened Monday night. They just happen to be up against a team in a bigger hole in the moment than they are with the scandal-ridden, scandal-plagued Miami Dolphins. By the way, and you alluded to it before, since I forgot to get this out there, Dallas and St. Louis on the bye this week. But I like Atlanta over Tampa Bay in this spot, laying the 1.5.
If you like Atlanta, you can hang your hat on the fact that their ATS record is so bad that there's got to be some correction in the marketplace coming. And one could make a case that, at least on the NFC side, these are the two most disappointing teams this year. Atlanta, every lucky, cheap, undeserved win that they've had during this regime has come back to roost this year, not to mention any game in particular last year's NFC Divisional Playoff. But, as good of a play as St. Louis was last week was as awful as a play Atlanta was for me last week. I tried watching the first – I mean, this team looked terrible. Now, we'll get to Seattle later on, but Atlanta just didn't have the pass rush to take advantage of the banged-up Seattle offensive line. They can't rush the pass. They can't do a lot right. Tampa Bay's got some momentum here off the Monday night win. Granted, it was against a Miami team that could be a sinking ship. More on that later. I'm laying off. I hate the 1 o'clock games this week, just as a heads up. And I'm laying off this game. This is it could be any kind of result in this game, and I wouldn't be shocked. I just wouldn't be. I mean, these are two teams, right? I mean, Atlanta is just so bad that I can't take them. And, you know, I know Tampa won, but, you know, I don't want to get too excited about a team that may or may not have quit on its coach. So, no thank
you. Exactly. I don't think anybody figured at the beginning of the season that game was going to be that this game shapes up to be as ugly as it could be with the state of the two franchises. I don't think anybody envisioned at the start of the year that this next game would still involve some form of playoff contention, and if it did, if people did guess that, they wouldn't guess which team would be on the periphery of playoff contention. It's the 5-4 Jets at the 3-7 Bills, and this one, Buffalo is laying a point. This is a line that opened up as a pick'em, much like the last game as well. I got to tell you my initial thought on this one. A lot of times in games like this, And this is a theory that's kind of gotten me into trouble over the years. I look at two teams like this, think to myself, you know, it's an 8-8 league. Who better epitomizes that than the Jets? Yeah, they've been playing well thus far, but they got to come back to earth. you got to like the Bills to kind of even it up here, bring them both a little bit closer to the 8-8 mark. But the more I'm looking at this, the more I'm thinking it's a bad spot for Buffalo. They really looked ugly in that game against Pittsburgh last week. I was unfortunate enough to have that foisted on me in my market with the Browns having been off last week. Don't know why they didn't give us Cincinnati and Baltimore, but that's a question for the network programmers, I suppose. Buffalo, yeah, they just didn't look good with E.J. Manuel back in there. I think the Jets can come in. I know they didn't look very good at times against Buffalo the first time, although they did beat them. That was kind of an ugly win for them. I think they'll have enough to be able to do it on the road just because the Bills are in worse shape. So I like the Jets getting the 1 point at Buffalo.
Well, we did that mid-season pro show, Ricky, and we really put a focus on who in the heck is going to get this sixth seed in the AFC, that final wild card spot. You know, you and I were both kind of quick to write off the Jets, and we probably shouldn't have been. I was reading, you know, probability-wise right now, they're the clubhouse leader, like it or not. And I got to say, building off what you just said, situationally, this is a very favorable spot for them. They are off their bye. Buffalo is playing for an 11th straight week. They are one of the four teams left that have not had their bye after this week. You referenced the ugly performance last week at Pittsburgh, and it was ugly. Buffalo's a team that you would only really want to take when they're getting a generous amount of points. You've seen them kind of pull some backdoor jobs, and you know they beat Miami outright, I remember, earlier in the year. But that all being said, you talk about this being an 8-8 league. I'm not totally buying in on the Jets to get that sixth seed, even if the numbers suggest right now they're the clubhouse leaders. Listen to this, Ricky. It's the point difference. You know how much I love year-to-date point differential and how much I love to look at that. The old adage, I believe it was Bill Parcells coined, a team is what its record is. Is just wrong. Sorry, Tuna. You're just, you know, that, you know, if you had made that Jack Plays comment, that would be your most shameful remark of all time. But let me just break this down here. These two teams, despite the fact that the Jets are sitting a lot prettier in the AFC East, on near identical point differential, the Jets are minus 62. Buffalo's actually slightly better at minus 60. Now, the Jets is negatively skewed, obviously, because that one game against Cincinnati, where they lost by 40.
Right.
But I can't endorse the Jets. They're clearly overachieving. And I'm with you, Ricky, that whole, this is an 8-8 league, things have to kind of even out, the Jets have overachieved, that crept into my mind too. But I talked about situationally how things favor the Jets. So, sorry, again, I'm laying off this game.
Okay. Well, I can't blame you for that because – It's a tough one. There's one coming up later that's even tougher. We talked about that last week. There's a number of games that are tough ones. Maybe not as much as last week, but there are a couple that are real stumpers, and I thought that was kind of one of them.
I hate this card a lot more than last week. I know that you know, the recommended play of the game, I only went 2-2, which signifies it was kind of tough. But at first blush, when I first looked at this card on Sunday night, I was like, my God, nothing jumped out at me. Nothing.
Yeah.
So
it is very tough. Next up, a battle of the Rust Belt. It's the 6-3 Lions at the 3-6 Steelers. 1 o'clock Eastern time on Fox. Tom Brennan and Brian Billick and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the call for this one. Detroit in this game, a road favorite. They opened at -3.5. It's -2.5 at the moment. So there's some money going towards the old Squealers there. As much as I would like to believe, from my own personal standpoint, that the Lions shove a stake through the heart of the Steelers. Looking at the recent trends here, not so much with the Lions because they've been pretty strong. They've had some signature wins the last couple of weeks here, but it might just be asking a little bit too much for another one here. The way that the Steelers have looked after that 0-4 start, they've been a little bit different. Certainly getting Le'Veon Bell in at running back is going to help. And the Lions are still vulnerable in their pass defense. And Roethlisberger last week with what he did to Buffalo, you got to think they're poised to defend their home turf here. It's a must-win game for Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, I do like them getting the 2.5.
There's no doubt to me that Detroit's the better team. By the way, they're sitting really, really pretty. We alluded to this last week, and then they obviously go into Chicago, win the game. they're sitting real pretty to win this NFC North, Ricky, given the quarterback situations in Green Bay and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both tabbed them as a wild card when we did the midseason show. I think they're going to win the division unless Aaron Rodgers' collarbone miracle heals miraculously. That Thanksgiving game, wow, is that going to be a big one between those two. But that being said, I don't know. I'm kind of like you a little bit. This is maybe my least favorite game on the entire card. The only comment I have here is, are we really going to trust the Lions to win back-to-back games on the road? That's what scares me. I mean, as much as I think Detroit is a significantly better team, are they going to win back-to-back? I mean, this is a team that, historically laying points on the road has just been horrible. I mean, going back to, even the final years of the Barry Sanders era, granted, I mean, none of those players are still around now. But and in the same token, I don't know if I trust Pittsburgh to win back-to-back games. So I'm laying off this game entirely. This is, on a card that I don't like, this may be my least favorite game.
Can't blame you. We go from the Rust Belt to the Sun Belt in this next one here. You're talking about must-win games. This might be a playoff contention elimination game right here. We got a couple situations this week that are basically two teams enter the cage, one team leaves. I think this one pretty much epitomizes it. The 4-5 Chargers at the 4-5 Dolphins, largely on the heels of the disaster on Monday night, which followed the disaster of the last 10 days with the Jonathan Martin situation here. The Dolphins are getting 2 points at home from San Diego, had been one at the beginning of the week here. Chargers coming off of a tough loss. They rallied against Denver last week, made you and I sweat the cover, I think, a little bit there. And previous to that, going to the East Coast the week before against Washington and losing a tough one. So you pounded it in my head before about teams traveling east. You are looking at a situation now where it's a 4:05 kickoff, so that might be a little bit better in terms of San Diego's body clock. Ultimately, push comes to shove. I do like San Diego in this spot because I think the wheels have come off for my Dolphins.
Yeah, this is going to be the first recommended play this week. Total gut feeling here, and I'm going with San Diego.
Road favorite.
You could still get them at one, by the way, at most places. I do want to point that out. Most shops will still have them at one, but, I think it's going to go up to two probably by game time, just so you're aware.
Well, you lose on an outright tie, Kyle, so they're still a favorite.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't think that's going to matter, obviously. That sounds like minor squabbling. But regardless, here's what it boils down to. When we did that mid-season show, I kind of got on the Chargers bandwagon. They were my pick to get the sixth seed in the AFC. Since that time, they're 0-2. Now, we can forgive the loss last week to Denver, probably. And to be honest with you, I'll even forgive the loss at Washington. That was a tough game. Going across country, the Chargers have won in the Eastern time zone previously this year. I believe they had won twice, as a matter of fact, in the Eastern time zone earlier this year. They do get the break with it being a later start. And I just think, you really set this game up perfectly in that it's an elimination game. Loser here drops to 4-7. And even in the weak AFC, that really puts you behind the eight ball. You're almost going to have to then win out to get to the playoffs. I just like San Diego's team better. I think, they're off the back-to-back losses. I don't think that's necessarily indicative of, the Chargers surprised me a little bit. I don't think it's as indicative of what the level they're capable of playing at. Miami, the Jonathan Martin situation, you're right. I think, this is a sinking ship potentially. Give me San Diego. First recommended play this week. Not a lot of numbers to support it. I'm just banking on that the Chargers kind of due for a win, like we talked about. It's an 8-8 league, and Miami, I think, is a sinking ship.
Yeah, you and I are both, I think, coming at it from the gut. That's kind of the same way that I'm sizing it up as well. So you and I both agree that, unfortunately, my Dolphins will not be able to avenge that 1981 legendary playoff loss to the Chargers there. So we both have the Chargers.
I think they've avenged it once or twice since that time, to be honest with you. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've played since then, and
here, let me take a look here. I guarantee you they played since 1981. First of all, let's see. Have they? Yeah, in 2008 they beat them 17-10.
Oh, all right. I stand corrected. In 2008, the Miami Dolphins gained their revenge for 1981 in the playoffs. That is outstanding. You talk about games that are elimination.
I was going to say, in 1993, they beat them 31-0, too, so there you go.
Oh, okay. All right, so they've done so a few times over. We got one here next up. You talk about elimination games. I think this is quite possibly another one, especially on the one side, 44-5 Ravens. They need this one badly. The 5-4 Bears, let's face facts, need it as well when you're looking at how their quarterback situation has gone, the health of quarterback play there, et cetera. Don't know if Jay Cutler is going to be good to go after getting banged up again last week. This is a line where the Bears are laying a field goal in this one at home. So Vegas basically saying on a neutral field it would be a toss-up. In looking at it again, the greater desperation situation certainly for the Ravens. I'm not real high on either team at the moment, frankly, but I do think Baltimore – coming off of having beaten Cincinnati in a fairly unlikely kind of game, the way that it materialized at the end there, I think they have a little bit of momentum and can come in and pull this one out. So I'll take Baltimore getting three on the road.
I really want to go Chicago, to be honest with you. They're only 2-6-1 against the spread, and we talk about that market correction that should probably be in order for a team like Atlanta. The Bears are one of four teams right now in the league that have only covered the spread twice this year. But, God, I'd be nervous laying points with all the injuries, most notably the quarterback situation. Although McCown, you know, the talk was that Trestman should have gone with him earlier. He should have pulled Cutler earlier last week. So I'm not sure if that's as big a downgrade as we think. Baltimore, I'm going to say they're just not very good. They only gained last week 189 total yards, still found a way to win. To be honest with you, they shouldn't have needed overtime at all. They really almost gave the game away. Obviously, the Hail Mary was the play of the week last week. But every Ravens game has been pretty close the last week, last 5 weeks, to be honest with you, is what I meant to say there. They lost by 3 to Buffalo, beat Miami by 3, lost to the Packers by 2, lost to the Steelers by 3, lost to the Browns by 6, beat the Bengals by 3. So that's actually – going back 6 weeks, all their games have been one-score games. Therefore, as much as I'd like to lay the points, I cannot, and I will lay off.
Okay.
I expect a close game. You're right. Although the Bears have the better record, I'd say it's equally as important because you're going to need a better record to make the playoffs in the NFC, particularly the Bears division, where I think now with the emergence of Carolina, only one NFC North team is getting in.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, in terms of the Bears needing it potentially – almost as badly, I will refer everybody to the weekly FDH Lounge Power Rankings at the same place you can find this show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. In my week 11 rankings, for the first time almost all season, I have the NFC ahead of the AFC in terms of cumulative power rankings in there. And that is even with the NFC East in there, but largely because the NFC West is pretty much the anti-East as far as how great it is. I do have the NFC conference narrowly ahead.
Well, it's interesting that I'm glad you brought that up, Ricky. I was just reading this morning. Remember, you and I were kind of scratching our heads a few weeks ago because the AFC got off that great start in non-conference games, and, you know, not just us, but I don't think anyone saw that coming. But it's corrected itself. I think after last week, non-conference games are a dead split now. They're dead even, but the NFC's held a clear edge over the last couple weeks, and I would expect that edge to continue to play out as we move forward. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not surprised to hear that out of your power ranking.
Not surprising, yeah. A lot of games still to go here. We have up next the 4-5 Browns at the 6-4 Bengals. It is the vaunted Battle of Ohio, and in this game, you've got the Bengals laying 5.5. It started at 6. Browns, of course, shocking them earlier this season. Relatively dominating 17-6 victory at home. They come in once again as they were in that game. Sans the albatross of Brandon Weeden. This time around, it is Jason Campbell at quarterback as opposed to Brian Hoyer, who is down for the year. Can't help but think in looking at this one, it is a potentially good bounce-back spot for the Bengals. There's a lot to kind of point towards them, but momentum is not one of those things pointing towards them. The Browns are coming off a bye. They are very much a live dog. I'll take my Brownies getting the 5.5 at Cincinnati.
I could go either way here. Here's the thing. It always screws me up living here in Cleveland. You listen to the fans. And here's the thing. These fans, like, really think that the Browns are back and a win here, and, yeah, the AFC North is ours. So, to me, my
We'd
only natural way to
Kyle.
Go.
We'd have the tiebreaker.
My natural instinct is this. Bengals win on a late field goal.
Okay.
I'm not interested in the spread. I can see this one finishing right around the number and the Bengals breaking the Browns' heart late. I realize that the Bengals are just sort of trended in the wrong direction. They've got the two major injuries on the defensive side of the ball with Atkins and Hall being out. But I don't see the Browns' offense doing very much in this game either. So.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals late. I'm not ready to give up on the Cincinnati Bengals, who I still think get the third seed in the AFC and win this division.
I think so, but what I said last week, I'm going to stand by that. If they lost that game, it was going to be a slog to the end of the season. They're not getting a bye. They're probably getting bounced in round one. It's going to be the same old Bengals. Last week was their chance. And I know, especially, you know, no Geno Atkins, and again, who, as I said, is the co-best player on the team with A.J. Green. Okay, there is that. But you are what your roster is. I'll paraphrase Bill Parcells at that point. And the Bengals are not going to have the roster to make a deep AFC playoff run this year. Last week proved that.
Well, I'll say this real quick, Ricky. Their defense still played well last, surprisingly well. Now, the Ravens
yes.
are pretty inept offensively, but still
yes.
Brown. And I'll
yes,
say this.
That's true.
If the Bengals can get the 3 seed this year,
yeah.
I mean, this is kind of being all the talk. You know, goes back to our midseason show and some of the stuff I've read this week. It's not a bye, obviously as good as a bye, but
right.
man, is the 3rd seed preferable to the 4th this year, because you're going to get probably like an 8-8 or 9-7 huge
right.
dog at home, whereas whoever gets the 4 seed is going to have to play Kansas City or Denver, whoever doesn't win the West.
Yeah.
So
I still
believe Cincinnati can get the 3 seed and win a wild card game. I certainly agree with that.
A lot of games to go here in our breakdown. Next up is the 3-6 Raiders at the 2-7 Texans. This is one where Houston is laying 7, had been 7.5 earlier in the week. I'm on Houston in this one, not merely because I've been on Houston a lot this year. My preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl, that's gone down the old crapper. Certainly at this point. Part of it is, and I know, and you've educated me on this, the extent to which the Vegas power rankings help to form a point spread like this. At first blush, I'm a little bit surprised Houston's laying as much as this, but knowing that those power rankings are forming the basis for it, and knowing the respect that those power rankings must have for what has still been a surprisingly strong defense for Houston for such a bad team this year, I'm going to go with Houston to cover the 7 at home this week.
See, I want to go with you, but I think it's too many points. I do.
Okay.
You know, I don't have the Vegas power rankings in front of me. Oakland is certainly now near the bottom. They're kind of becoming the team we thought they'd be at the beginning of the season. But I could see them, similar to last week, kind of like an ugly hang around, sneak in the back door kind of situation. I mean, Houston, the way things have gone, I'm not laying a touchdown with them. No, thank you. Although they
yeah.
are the 3rd of 4 teams that have covered the spread 2 times or less this year. So there probably is some market correction in order for them.
Yeah, that must be the thought behind it in terms of the line being what it is. It's almost a borderline why ask why pick for me with Houston.
It really is.
Yeah,
who wants to lay 7 with the Houston Texans right now?
Yeah, I guess I'll outright call it a why ask why pick if I'm on Houston. I just assume the wise guys know something that I don't know. So that's why I'm taking them. Next up here, this is the toughest one, I think, of this entire week for me to call.
It is the 5-4 Cardinals at the 1-8 Jaguars. This is one where Arizona is now laying 7.5. Had been 7 at the open, had dipped to 6.5 at one point. In looking at this again, I am now coming around to the fact that, again, even when we did our midseason show, I was very slow to give enough credit to Arizona. Part of it is they do have that home-road split. They are a much better team at home, probably even more so than the pronounced home-road splits that most NFL teams have. They are going cross-country. I do like them in this game. I think it's very rare that you have a real test game against the worst team in the league. But I think that's what this is, Kyle. It's kind of now or never for them to step up and prove that they can assert themselves a little bit better on the road. If this was in Arizona, I think it would be a real massacre. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I like them by about 10, which would cover the 7.5 here.
So all of a sudden now we like to lay all these points on the road with the Arizona Cardinals, do we? No, thank you. No,
okay.
Thank you. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the only sizable home dog this week that I could take a shot with. They are off their first win of the year. You and I both liked them last week. I should have given it as a full recommendation. I liked it more and more as the week went on. I am going to recommend the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know it's gotten me in trouble a few other times this year, but Arizona has a great defense, and Jacksonville's going to struggle to score in this game. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But Arizona, if they win this game, they'll be 6-4, and you have to then begin talking about them as a legitimate playoff contender. I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. I would not be surprised if Jacksonville takes this game outright. Just shocker. I can't see Arizona. Look, I said before the year, the wise guys, I couldn't understand it then. And, they're right. They've been proven right.
Right.
They like this team more than anybody.
Right.
You talk about the home road split. This team is just 7-14
right.
Laying points away from home. Give me Jacksonville. I think he got some momentum from last week.
Interesting. I've always said you got a lot of guts on your recommended plays, never more so than right there. Still many games for us to go through. We go next to the Sunday nighter. One combined loss between these teams. It's the 9-0 Chiefs at the 8-1 Broncos. Probably the first time in the history of the league that a 9-0 team has been getting 8.5 points. It opened at 9.5 for Denver. Nevertheless, I do like the Broncos to cover this spot. There is a little bit of uncertainty heading into it as to whether or not Peyton Manning is going to be close to 100%. But we saw last week again that they kind of flagged a little bit in the second half against San Diego, but I predicted that we would see Denver bouncing back. I think ultimately that's what we had. I think they're in that mode again. Denver is once again in beast mode. I think they'll cover the 8.5. Maybe not by much, but I do like them to cover.
All year long, I said I don't believe in Kansas City. I said Denver's the better team. But somewhere along the way, I think I gave a little spoiler alert last week that really everyone thinks that way. It's not any sort of novel way of thinking, and the value's gone. And sure enough, the value is gone. And I'm going to shock you here, and I'm going to take the points with Kansas City.
Okay.
Denver, as great as they were that first month, has sort of been coming back down to earth a little bit. I know that's hard to say for a team that's only lost one game. I think they're going to win the game, but I'm going to recommend Kansas City plus those points. Manning's not 100%. He's going up against a great defense that is off a bye. Andy Reid, there's been no coach, I think, in league history better off the bye than Andy Reid. And division dogs getting more than a touchdown, cash at almost a 60% rate the last 10 years. So I'm giving out Kansas City this week. I think they stay within the number. Remember, Denver, what was their worst game? Sunday nighter, granted was on the road. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to trash Indianapolis. It did happen that way.
Well, you agree with me, though, with Denver to win. So the most important thing from my perspective is that Don Shula and the rest of the 72 Dolphins get to pop that champagne bottle Sunday night.
Oh, God. You know what? I hope Kansas City wins the game then. I hope Kansas City wins the damn game then.
I just want to see Don Shula bum rush in the 50-yard line one of these times with a champagne bottle when the last team goes down. Man. That would be awesome. I don't think he'd be moving real fast the way things go right
now.
Yeah,
with Mercury Morris, what's your boy Mercury Morris going to wheel him out there or something like that?
Yeah.
He'd be a break.
He deserves to be part of the celebration as well. A huge game here, late Sunday afternoon on Fox, 4:25 Eastern time, the 6-3 49ers at the 7-2 Saints at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Fox has the A-team on this one. Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call. New Orleans is laying 3. It had been 2.5 at the open. San Francisco with some of their offensive issues at the moment here, which were kind of exposed last week against Carolina. I don't think they're nearly coordinated well enough offensively to go into the Superdome. It is going to be loud in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It is going to be a very difficult atmosphere. Both teams need this one desperately if they're to catch Seattle. The Saints for the one seed overall, the 49ers in the division, they took a bad loss last week as far as that goes. But they're not going to get it back here. I like New Orleans to cover the 3.
New Orleans Saints, 18-4 against the spread, their last 22 home games. That includes a 12-1 mark against the number if laying 7 or less. All of those non-covers came last year when Sean Payton was suspended. Did you watch the Sunday night game last week, Rick Morris? I know you did, because you, like me, you had the Saints. You had the Saints. We both did. Who in God's name would go against the Saints this week? I'll go against the Saints this week. Give me the points with San Francisco.
Wow. Okay.
Why is this number not bigger? I think this line stinks. And there was a trend I was reading about. It was actually last week, not this week, but it was last week, that teams off a double-digit cover at home really come back down to earth the next week. And I know, other than Seattle, no one's better at home than New Orleans.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I think Harbaugh off a loss has been great in his 3 years in San Francisco. This line's going to go up to 3.5. When it does, grab it.
Okay, get on them at that. Next up, a battle of fairly recent Super Bowl winners, teams that don't look like Super Bowl winners this year, at least with the Aaron Rodgers injury for Green Bay. It's the 5-4 Packers at the 3-6 Giants, albeit the Giants have been rallying recently. And because of that, they are laying 5 in this one. It had been 8 earlier in the week. Green Bay, again, we're seeing what that offense looks like without Aaron Rodgers, and it ain't pretty. It's hard to go against the Giants in this spot here. They have the momentum from recent weeks. Hard to believe we could be saying that after the start that they got off to. But there's just no way I can get behind Green Bay under the circumstances here. I expected them to look a lot better last week. That system has a good way of protecting quarterbacks generally, and it hasn't done so thus far. I like the Giants to cover the 5.
Rick Morris, if I lose some of these games, I'm going to look real dumb. Give me the Green Bay Packers plus the points. Recommended play.
Okay, wow.
This line just seems way too funky, and I know that Aaron Rodgers, more than any other player, sans Peyton Manning, can swing the point spread like we've seen with Green Bay the last 2 weeks. I just don't think the Giants are that good. I'm not a huge believer in momentum, and the Giants aren't that. I mean, I tried watching that game against the Raiders last week. They were kind of lucky to win. I mean, if Terrell Pryor hadn't gifted him a pick six, they probably don't even win the game. And that was at home against Oakland, who hasn't won in the Eastern time zone since John Madden was the head coach, probably. So I just think everyone's giving up on the Packers. They may not make the playoffs, okay? But which is almost unfathomable to think, given where we thought about them at the beginning of the year. But that's life without Aaron Rodgers, I suppose. But they will stay within the number at least here.
Fun fact, Kyle Ross, Terrell Pryor not only gifted them a pick six last week, he also gifted them a pair of gold pants while he was at it. He threw that in. That was very nice of him, I thought.
Well,
and that was without even getting a tattoo in return.
He earned a few of those, didn't he? He earned a few of those, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
The Monday Nighter, for once.
There's a lot of people in the Big Ten running around with big gold pants right about now, and it ain't Michigan.
That's true. The Monday Nighter, for once, a really good matchup, a battle of top 10 teams, I think we could say, in the league at this point in time. It's the 7-2 Patriots at
the 6-3 Panthers at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on Monday night. The Patriots are getting 2.5. It had been 1 at the open. Under the circumstances, it's really funny because the Patriots got off to that big winning streak at the beginning of the season. Panthers have been on one recently. I think it's going to come to an end here. I don't want to say that the Patriots are going to be 8-2 because they would probably be the worst 8-2 team of all time. And yet I just feel things kind of bending their way here. I think that the streak is over for Carolina. I think that the Patriots can come in strong. They're coming off of the bye where Belichick is always dangerous. I like New England getting the 2.5 Monday night.
I really want to join you. I told you, I think off air, or no, I think it was on air, as a matter of fact, as I've been babbling here. I believe at one point I babbled out that when I looked at this card initially, I didn't really like anything. The first game that actually jumped out at me was this one. And I, like you, you know, I know about Belichick off a bye, Belichick getting points, and now he's getting even more points than when the line originally opened. He's getting 2.5 to play with. And, you know, Carolina, is this team for real? It's funny, a couple weeks ago when I initially shared with you the Vegas power rankings, that was almost a month ago, I think the thing that jumped out to both of us initially was Carolina being ranked 8th at the time, and that was before
yep.
some of these signature wins, certainly before last week's signature win against San Francisco. I'm telling you, though, I know I just told you I don't believe in momentum. I don't think it's necessarily momentum. I just think Carolina's really good, and I don't want to go against them right now. You know, you kind of just raised some concerns with New England. You know, I don't think they're as good as their record. Carolina is as good as its record, and I'm laying off this game. I'm wondering if the moment could be too big for Carolina, but I'm not banking against it. This defense is vicious, particularly up front. And if you can pressure Tom Brady, you could beat New England. So I'm laying off Monday night.
We've still got two of my big three to go in pretty scarce time here. I already gave out one of them earlier, Indianapolis covering the 3. The last two got Seattle. They are laying 12.5 at home against Minnesota. Had been 14.5 at the open. Even I would have thought 14.5 might have been a little bit excessive. But the Seahawks look like they're rolling again after what happened last week. Tough offensive line issues there, but I don't think Minnesota's the team to be able to exploit it. I think Seattle rolls. 12.5, I'm going to be gulping, but I'll lay this one.
My 6th recommended pick of the week goes against you. I am taking the points with the Vikings. They're on a longer week. Remember, Seattle's offensive line, which I thought would cost them last week against Atlanta, didn't because Atlanta can't generate a pass rush. As long as Minnesota can generate a pass rush, I think they're going to be fine. Seattle's going to be peeking ahead to the bye, and then New Orleans after that. Look for the Vikings to kind of just backdoor their way to an ATS win, or if not, just hang around the number the whole time.
A rare spot of where we go against one another. We'll see if it manifests itself in the last pick of the week here. My last of my big three picks, last of our picks overall this week, the 3-6 Redskins at the 5-5 Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles are laying 3.5 in this one. We've been talking all year, Kyle, about Philadelphia can't win at home. They've been lethal on the road. I'm with you on how you've been thus previous to that. You might be going against what you've been saying, but I'm with you at this point saying that Philadelphia breaks that streak. I like them to win and to cover the 3.5.
You know, I really wanted to, but Washington off a loss. Teams coming off a Thursday game have played pretty well this year. I'm nervous. I'm laying off this one. Had the Redskins won Thursday, I would have liked the Eagles a little bit more. I look for a very close game. You got to think the Eagles are going to win at home sooner or later, but I don't know. I can't. They burned me too many times, and I think maybe their stock's a little too high right now off the back-to-back wins with Foles. They've been a very uneven team. Washington, I don't think, is as bad as its record is indicates.
Well, that game on Thursday night would probably beg to differ with you, but
I don't know what happened in the second half. I mean, they looked great in the first half. They kind of just collapsed there at the end. So I'm telling you, I think Washington, what ultimately happens here, look for the Eagles to win this one on a late field goal.
Okay. All right. Well, my big three is Indianapolis is my lock with Philadelphia and Seattle also. Your recommended picks for the week: San Diego, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Minnesota, San Francisco, Green Bay. Thank you, as always, Kyle Ross. A pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it.
All right, thank you all for joining us today for FDH Lounge, mini-episode number 344.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.